I'm glad to be in your midst one more time today to preach, to deliver a message from the Lord. I hope that nobody will sleep, nobody will slumber. It's going to be about faith, but it may not be the way that you understand it. Because this message will be centered around Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 7, 23 to 40. I'm not going to read it now. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to move all the way to Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 to 18. We'll try to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in our message today. The title of our message is what? The Battle of Faith, the Example of Some Predecessors. We will analyze just a little bit some examples from the Old Testament as well as from the New Testament about how faith has been enacted or lived out. In essence, faith means that you cannot see the end of the road with your own eyes, but you trust the one that told you to follow him no matter what, and you do. You cannot see it, the end of the road, but you trust someone who told you he has seen it. Wow. You have not gone through it, but you trust someone or those who told you they have been through it. When you ask, is it a good road? They answer, well, don't worry. If we could, you will, by God's grace. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to worship you and to hear your voice, to receive blessings from you this day, your day of rest, given to us to come together. I pray that this time will not be spent in vain, that our worship will be accepted from you. Forgive our sins, give us your Holy Spirit, bless your church all over the world. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going to read Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. No, chapter 3, verse 1. I pray that you will leave your Bibles open so that we can read together. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. It's in the Old Testament. If someone doesn't have it, ask someone to help you out so that you can see it and we can read together. Daniel 3, verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made what? An image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof, how many cubits? 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Where? In the province of Babylon. I want to recall you that this king was essentially a political figure that started playing two roles that are reserved to God and to him only. God has the self-given privilege of having two scepters, the religious scepter and the political scepter. God only has that privilege, self-given privilege of having two scepters. He was the king, talking about Nebuchadnezzar. God. He was the king of Israel, as well as his God, to whom all glory, honor, and worship is due. Nebuchadnezzar was placed by God as king of kings on earth, and because of that, he believed that he can be worshipped as well. King, political figure, but being worshipped is kind of like religious rigor, you got. It's interesting to see that the first infringement made to the Ten Commandments was the erection of an image by the king for worship. The first two of the Ten Commandments say what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first one. Second, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Right on spot, this king has decided to erect an image so that everybody can come to worship. He was king. There is separation. There should be separation from between what? Church and state. But this king has decided to mix them up, as our president right now has decided to put them together, which is a sign of the time. I want to remind you that the religions that use images in their worship are generally pagans. Unfortunately, a church that is around for about 2,000 years and that calls itself Christian has made of images the base of its worship. This denomination is Catholic Church. Second thing from the text is the place where the worship experience has taken place. The text says in the province of Babylon. In the province of Babylon, there was erected what? An image that was the dimension of that image, 3 score cubits height and 6 score cubits large. Let me put it that way. In the Bible, Babylon symbolizes what? Symbolizes confusion. Remember what happened when Babel was to be built in the plain of Shinar. God had descended to confound their language. Let us read together Genesis chapter 11, verses 7 to 9. Genesis chapter 11, verses 7 to 9. The first book of the Bible. The 11th chapter and verses 7 to 9. We will see how Godhead will descend from heaven to the plain, the Shinar plain, to do something that is extremely important for us to understand now. It says, let us go down. Let us go down. God was not talking to the angels. God was talking to the three persons of divinity. Let us go down and there confound their language. How many languages do you see right here? Please, how many languages? It says that they and they confound what? Their language. This is singular. That means one language. At that time, there was just one language on the earth. There was no French, no English, no Greek. One language. That they may not understand one another's speech. That's God talking here. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. At that time, there was just one language on the earth, as I said earlier. Now, one language means a lot. When there is one language, everybody can understand everybody. When there are many languages, you will not understand me easily. You know, my language, my primary language is not English. At first, when I came here and I started talking, people didn't understand me because I have what? Heavy accent. But you may understand me a little bit better now, eh? All right, praise the Lord. Now, in this occurrence, we clearly see that the confusion has been created among them because God was not in their midst. And from thence, they didn't speak the same language anymore. That means they were not able to understand each other's language. There's confusion. Same thing for our contemporary Babylon. Babylon is a mixture of diverse and divergent doctrines that don't really unite them. But still, because they don't want God among them, Catholic and Protestant churches alike, their disunity unites them paradoxically. Paradoxically, P-A-R-A-D-O-X-I-C-A-L-L-Y. Paradoxically, strangely. Paradoxically, their disunity unites them because God is kind of like absent between them. You will see it probably one day. Look, the Catholic Church has doctrines that Protestant churches disagree with, but still, they unite on the doctrines of Sunday sacredness. And they unite on what other doctrine? Immortality, nature of the soul. That means even if you die today, you go to heaven directly according to your life. If you've got kind of like good life, you die and you go directly to heaven. Your body may stay in the tomb, but you go spiritually. Not spiritually. I would say spiritually, but your mental, your whatever you have, your spirit goes to heaven where you will live with God forever, which is not biblical. This is a doctrine coming from paganism. That's Babylon. They have in common what's called ecumenism. Ecumenism. You know this word, ecumenism. ECUMENISM. Which is a religious syncretism. The combination of different forms of belief or practice. The fusion of two or more originally different inflectional forms. Like Catholic Church has its own doctrines, Protestant churches have their own doctrines, and they want to mix them up together and create one big church, world church, to dominate the world. That's what they want to do. And Seventh-day Adventists, many of our church members do not understand that. They believe it's okay, it's the same God, we can do this, we can do that. Going back to Daniel, let's read Daniel. We will go a little bit fast on Daniel. We will start from verse 2. And I will not read the whole verses. From Daniel 3, verses 2. Let me see. All right. Daniel 3, from verse 2. It says, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Come to what? The dedication of what? The image which whom the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And all were gathered together where? Went unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It was the king that has decided to erect an image, a golden image, that everybody, particularly the high-ranked people, to come before the image, that statue for them to worship him because that statue represented him, the King of Kings, that God has placed on the earth for a certain reason. Then, Daniel 3, verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commended, O people, nations, and languages." Where do we have this text? This text? What other places in the Bible do we have this text? It says, "Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commended, O people, nations, and languages.'" Where can we find it other than Daniel in the Bible? Where can we find it from other than Daniel? Revelation, what chapter? You know it? Chapter 13, what verse? Okay, let me read with you. Revelation 13, verses 8 and 15. Revelation 13, verses 8 and 15. It says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." The same terminology, almost the same terminology that we found in Daniel chapter 3, verse 4, is found in Revelation 13, verses 8 and 15. In Daniel, it says nations, or people, nations, and language. In Revelation, right here, it says all the earth will do what? Worship him. And who will worship the beast? Who will worship at that time? Those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he said, and he continues, "And he had power," verse 15, "and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." The same image that we see in Daniel chapter 3 is seen differently in Revelation chapter 13. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." We will see it with Daniel. This is right there, a decree, a death decree, as had decreed King Nebuchadnezzar against the three Hebrew men. Usually we hear Hebrew boys, but I'm saying it's not boys at that time, it was men. I want to recall you that in the Bible prophecy, beast symbolizes power, king, and government. Like in the dream of the king, he saw four beasts, and Daniel explained they represented four empires, starting from the Babylonians, whose first head of state was actually Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, coming to the dedication of the image that was set by Nebuchadnezzar, is synonymous of worshiping the image as it will soon be on us. But notice that those who worship the image have been and will be those whose names were and are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. If your name is not in the book of life of Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. If your name is not written in the book of life of Jesus Christ, that means you will worship the beast. It is not by chance that, how would I say it? Jesus has not decided, this person will be saved. That person will not be saved. It is you deciding whether you will be saved or whether you will not be saved. It is you deciding whether your name will be in his book or whether your name will not be in his book. We will decide. Jesus does not decide. He has not decided. He will never decide. Now, For our names to be written in the book of life, we need to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We need to obey him as he obeyed his Father. We need to have his faith as John the Revelator revealed in Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus." Now, as you can see, commandments of God and faith of Jesus go hand in hand. You cannot separate them from each other. They go hand in hand. If you obey, if you have faith in God, you're going to obey his law, his 10 commandments. Like many people say, if you love God, that's enough. But I believe one of us said it this morning. Oh no, I heard it in Tribune this morning before coming here. And we know it. And everybody knows it. Let me say it. If you love me, keep my commandment. You cannot say that you love God and you put aside the 10 commandments. It doesn't work that way. If you say that you love your wife, will you cheat on her? Talk to me. No. If you say that you love your husband, will you cheat on him? No. Because you love him, you will not cheat on him or on her. So the same thing. Faith goes hand in hand with commandments of God. And Jesus got the commandment, obeyed his Father's commandment, and he had faith in his Father. The same will be for us as Seventh-day Adventists. We need to obey God. We need to have the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, let me go to Revelation 3, verse 15. People of all the earth got to worship this image, otherwise they will be punishable by death. If you don't worship that image, that beast, you will be punishable by death. Death decree that is repeated in Revelation 3, verse 15. Those two instances will not be the only death decrees set to eliminate God's children. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11, we see how believers from all ages have given up their lives for Christ. Verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Listen to that. Without faith, it is impossible. Don't forget, commandments of God and faith of Jesus Christ, or faith, go hand in hand. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whatever happens to you, you need to have faith in God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, how will faith be manifested in the life of the followers or of the following believers? Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 29. Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 29. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, it is not just when things are going well, you need to have faith in God. But when things are going bad, you need to still have faith in God. As with Moses, many political people will join the ranks of God, enrolled under the banner of the Lamb of God when persecution will arise. As with Moses, they will prefer sharing the sufferings of God's people rather than enjoying the pleasure of the world just for a season. Moses refused to be called the son of someone who saved him from death. That's unbelievable. Who would not accept that great privilege? Who among us would not be happy to be adopted by a United States president? I'm telling you, if any one of them would call me, I will adopt you and I will give you money, wealth, I would say, let's do that. Will I do it? Particularly now? Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused it because he would enjoy the pleasures of the world for a season. Now you accept to be adopted by whichever president now to enjoy the pleasure of the world for a season, you will regret it down the road. You will regret it, I'm telling you. But the timing is extremely important in that regard. It was a time to come out of Egypt, so it will be a time for us to come out of Babylon. No chance to enjoy the pleasure of the world in our time. It's dangerous. Brothers and sisters, the wealth of the rich will avail nothing when the end comes. They will try to convince us to give them a Bible study. They will want to hear a word of God from us. But it will be too late. Elsewhere, by the time you see rich and prostitute leave Babylon to embrace the pure and clear gospel that we will preach when the Holy Spirit will descend upon us in the latter form, it will then be over for many of us who would not accept it now. People will reproach us all kinds of falsehood because of Christ, but we will not pay attention to them. We will not feel the wrath of the kings of the earth, the judges, the Interpol, international police. We will not feel the navies, militaries, the angry mobs. We will not feel the technologies of 5G. We will not feel the face recognition set up to find us wherever we head, wherever we go. We will not feel the punishments. God, who has given strength, courage, patience, love, peace, and faith, will not forsake us. Amen. With Moses and the Hebrews, we will be sealed as they did then in the Passover ritual. The Holy Spirit, along with his angels, will go through the entire earth to seal his people, and soon that process will be over. John the Revelator revealed in Revelation 7, verses 1 to 3, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This event has not taken place yet. Human beings have their death decrees, so does God. Which one should be avoided? We see a prostitute got her life saved because she believed. And she saved her family's life, her parents' life. That's the result of God, of good faith. Not everyone who is doing now the wrong things will be lost tomorrow. Watch out, brethren. Many of them may be saved when many of us will be lost because of lack of faith. That's the case of Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute. Let us read quickly. Hebrews 11, verses 30 to 35. Hebrews 11, verses 30 to 35. Let's pick up from verse 36 and said, let's pick up from verses 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in what? Sheepskin. And goat's skin. Would you do that? Would you wander all over without your usual piece of clothing? With goat skin and sheepskin like that? Because of persecution? And there's another thing. They were stoned, they were sown asunder. What does that mean? Wow. Why don't they cry? Okay, I give up. They did not give up. The first one went inside of the chamber, the tortured chamber, and they heard his voice, and they slashed him. But still, they would not be deterred. They would move forward. I want to be killed for Jesus Christ. I want to go to the cross. I want to have the same faith that Jesus got. This is not something that's easy for us to understand. But still, they were stoned. They were sown asunder, were tempted. Because when that happens to you, you're going to be tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
It's snakes. Okay.
Are you afraid of snake? I am. I cannot afford to see a snake. Big snakes? I'm telling you, there are some snakes that are very interesting to see. Now, when that time comes, what happens? We will go to the dens, whatever you call them. Lion's den, tiger dens, or whatever. We will go inside of these caves without having any kind of fear because God will be with us. Amen? They wandered in desert, in the mountains. We have plenty of mountains to flee when that happens. And caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. History has repeated itself many times right here in these verses. It has repeated itself in the dark ages. So will it be, will it repeat itself in our time at the end of time? We will be mocked at, we will be scourged, put in chains and in jail for not accepting the spurious Sabbath, which is Sunday. Worse than what happened to them will happen to us in the times they did not have clothes to put on except goatskins, sheepskins. We will have to run all over to have a place to live. We will be tracked everywhere we go as it was for them. We will find refuge in mountains, desert, dens in caves of the earth. Last time I've been to one of these beautiful places in Pennsylvania with Megan. What is the name of that place? Grand Canyon, Pennsylvania, Grand Canyon. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful place. But when we have to flee, maybe we will have to go there. How many caves are around here we don't know? God hides them. God hides them so that nobody can see them. And I'm glad for that. We will have to run all over to have a place to live. We will be tracked everywhere. We go as it was for them. We will find refuge in mountains, deserts, dens, and caves of the earth. For those who feed snakes like me, we may find refuge in their places or habitats. But God will protect us. They have endured all this because of faith in God. So will we. My brothers and sisters, do you have this kind of faith? Do we need this kind of faith for this time? There will be no salvation without this kind of faith. If for anything we tremble now, tomorrow it will be worse. How trembling will we be when we face those challenges we are talking about? If you want to have this faith, I'm going to ask everybody who want to have this faith to come, to move forward. We want to pray together. Come to the altar. We want to pray together. Everyone who wants to have that kind of faith in God, no matter what happens to you, God will be with you. But still, you need to go through that time of trouble. Everyone who want to have this faith, come forward. We will pray with you. We will pray together. Because we need it. Those people have been and still are our examples. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember what happened to those three young men? They have decided not to worship, to bow down before what? The statue that Nebuchadnezzar has erected. They were just three people among a multitude of people. They were slaves among free men. Still, when Nebuchadnezzar has heard that these people, these three men, didn't decide to worship, he said, okay, we're gonna warm up, heat up that furnace tenfold. And we will throw you inside of it if you don't want to worship my statue. And still they said, we do not care about what you're saying. We have a God in heaven that can save us. But even if God does not decide to save us, we will not bow down before your idol. This is faith in action. My brothers and sisters, this is a time for us to think about these things. It will happen soon. I'm not saying sooner or later, or later or sooner. Soon. That will happen soon, very soon. We want to pray now. Let us pray. It is a sweet hour of prayer because we come before you to ask you something that is extremely important for us now. The faith of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need it desperately, every one of us. I'm asking you to bless your church, everyone who comes forward, to pray, to ask you blessings. I'm asking you to forgive our sins, to remove from us anything that would prevent us from holding onto your hand, from being courageous, from having love in our heart, from moving forward, from obtaining the victory that Jesus has already won for us. Please bless those people. Please bless the leadership of this church. And give us to stay connected to you. Give us your Holy Spirit, who would teach us better whatever we need to understand, whatever we need to know, so that we can one day receive the seal of God, and then go through the time of trouble without failing you. Have mercy on us. Purify us completely. Cleanse us inside out. And give us the complete victory. When Jesus comes, we can go with him in your kingdom and live with him forever and ever. This prayer I do in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you so much.